This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If only we had something to talk about today, to celebrate today, and of course we do. It is election reaction time on I'm Right with Jim Jordan, Megyn Kelly, Buck Sexton, Ron Johnson, and I can't get the smile off my face. Coming up.
Many people have told me that God spared my life for a reason. And that reason was to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And now we are going to fulfill that mission together. We're going to fulfill that mission.
There you have it. Donald Trump, president again. What an incredible night it was. And let me just tell you, we have obviously a gigantic show for you with amazing guests. I just wanted to talk about that for a couple minutes here. Just bear with me first. I want you to be happy right now. And I know you are. Maybe that sounds like a dumb thing to say, but already today I saw people fretting about the problems that are going to come. And I get all that. There will be problems that are going to come. And what's the left going to do? And what about the appointments? And I get all that. Last night was a great, great night. And if you're a political person, you watch the show regularly, I'm sure. How many nights do we have something to celebrate on here? When you're a person on the right, those days don't happen often because you wake up every day and it's a fight. The dirty commies are trying to ruin this and ruin that, and it's a fight and it's a scandal here, and we all wake up and we're stressed out and we're... How many days do you have like this one right here where you can feel good? It goes well beyond Donald Trump and his victory. Obviously, that's the headline of the night. What happened last night was not only about Trump. It's the Senate. Looks like it's pretty much a guarantee it's going to be the House. It was, more importantly than our wins, it was a nationwide repudiation of these evil communists who have done so much to us for the last 4 years. How were they ever going to learn? Who will stand up to them? Who will put them in their place? You did last night. These people, of course, look, and we'll have this discussion about how these people can change, will they change? But these people had no idea how much we all despise them until last night. And now, they're waking up and they're realizing it. And it was stunning. I sat up all night long the same way you did. As soon as I took this earpiece off and went home, hung out with the wife, couple friends, I sat and hate watched all the lib channels all night long. And honestly, this moment on CNN was just...
Are there any places that the vice president is overperforming Joe Biden in 2020? So we can show you that as well. We just bring that out here. Harris overperforming 2020.
Holy smokes.
There you go. So let this go away and see if there's anything on the east side there.
Literally nothing?
Literally nothing.
Literally not one county?
By 3% or more.
That is what you call a nationwide mandate. Not just a mandate for Republican rule, a mandate that this madness that these people have been putting us through for 4 years, this madness has got to stop. That's what that was. And it gives me hope. And like I said, I told you this before the election, and I'm not going to go back on my word now because it was right. I said, all is not lost if Trump loses, and all is not saved if Trump wins. Saving a country, like losing a country, is a process, not an event. So I'm not going to sit here and blow smoke and tell you all's fixed, all is well, we're good to go now. But you know how we've talked about stress tests before on the show? Nations go through stress tests. Sometimes we will go through stress tests in life. It's just how it works. Well, we have failed a few stress tests, and we failed them badly over the last few years. COVID was an embarrassing failure as a country. The people, all of us, the people as a whole, we failed hiding in your house for a freaking chest cold. We failed during COVID. We failed during the St. George Floyd communist op they ran. We failed. We failed. And last night, we had a chance to see, are we done? Can you run a brain-dead commie from California with no platform who hid herself in a basement? Can you just tell lie after lie after lie? Can you run that evil witch and still win the presidency? Because if you can, we're done. That's it. The cancer is, it's terminal, but it's not terminal. Last night proved that we can pass stress tests still, and you should feel good about that. Feel good. Feel better than my voice sounds tonight. Anyway, let's talk to Megan about how she feels. Joining me now to react to a wonderful night last night, a wonderful day today, is my friend, journalist, host of the Megyn Kelly Show, which of course can be found on Sirius YouTube. Go to her YouTube channel and subscribe, youtube.com/Megyn Kelly. Megyn, that was a good night. I'm a little sleepy because I couldn't stop hate watching CNN and MSNBC all night.
It was so delicious. This is the moment we've been waiting for, where he wins. And now, not only do we get to watch her concede and all the leftists come to grips with the reality of what the country actually values and wants and doesn't want, but now we're going to go into the next phase, which is going to be even more fun, where the vicious hit pieces are going to start to come out, going deep into how this fell apart, what a nightmare she was behind the scenes, blaming Biden, blaming her, this, like that. It always happens, and I can't wait to read every word.
I can't wait to read it all, and I know that Joe Biden is not going to come out looking clean there. Very clearly, they're all going to take turns throwing monkey poop at Joe Biden, just destroying what's left of his legacy on the way out the door, and Biden's team's going to throw it back. Megan, I had a little birdie tell me this morning that Jill Biden was all smiles in the White House today. I was actually told they said specifically ear to ear, she couldn't stop celebrating. It's going to be so fun.
Who could believe? I know. Well, you saw her in her full red suit yesterday when she went out to vote. That seemed a little coincidental. And I'm sure she was rooting against Kamala Harris. They feel like she betrayed him, and she did, let's face it. And look, she betrayed the American people. She kept the secret of his mental acuity, how it was gone, just as fervently as anybody. Maybe a little less so than Joe Scarborough. He was number one. But Kamala Harris was right up there. And so, you know, she was culpable in that whole thing. And I think the American public did not forget that. I don't think it was her number one problem yesterday. I think really, I got to be honest, I'm not trying to be mean. It was her stupidity. It was the fact that they understood she was an absolute moron who should be nowhere near the presidency. And because of that, Jesse, I have to say, not only is today great for America because of the agenda Trump's going to push and the one he's going to stop, but it's a great day for women because if that knucklehead had become the U.S. president, the first female president, it would have set women back generations. Because her inanity would have been chalked up to the fact that she's a woman. You know, there's some guys who'd be like, yeah, see, they can't do it. The first female president needs to be a Margaret Thatcher type whose intelligence and strength is beyond reproach.
Megan, is there something you'd like to announce here for the 2028 run right here? Look, I'm just asking. Megan, you brought it up. I'm just asking. Is there something that you would like to tell us all?
I am far too happy and healthy a person to ever run for president.
Speaking of happy and healthy, I've been very, very happy looking at the coalition Donald Trump has put together, especially in the final months of his campaign. Look, everyone remembers you and Donald Trump had kind of a testy relationship years ago, and I very much enjoyed you speaking at his rally the night before. Here you were.
He will be a protector of women, and it's why I'm voting for him. He will close the border. He will keep the boys out of girls' sports and where they don't belong. And you know what else? One more thing. He will look out for our boys, too. Our forgotten boys and our forgotten men. Guys like you. Guys like these guys. Who've got the calluses on their hands. Who work for a living. With the beards and the tats. Who maybe have a beer after work and don't want to be judged by people like Oprah and Beyonce, who will never have to face the consequences of her disastrous economic policies. These guys will. He gets it.
Love that message to men. Megan, what do you make of this coalition Donald Trump's talking about? Thomas Massey, RFK Jr. getting involved with the FDA. He had the Megyn Kelly speaking at his rally. How did he do this?
It's really exciting. And I think it goes back to the truth, Jesse. You and I have talked about this before, which is Trump is not some far right dude. Yeah, Trump is more moderate. He was a Democrat for most of his adult life. He was a reasonable Democrat, but he doesn't have some deeply right wing conservative agenda. Like, that's what, one of the reasons why the Project 2025 lie was just so absurd. I'm sure he's never read it. And I'm sure he would have been horrified if he had, because it espouses some deeply conservative person's view of a Trump presidency and not the actual Trump view. So I think that's why these people were attracted to Trump, because he actually is more moderate in his approach. Look at the way he handles trade. Trade used to be, it used to be all about free trade. That was the Republican Party, not him. He wants to slap tariffs on people to help American manufacturing and the working class. That's just one example. So he's unorthodox. And if you can just see through, if you can just like scrape away the cobwebs of Trump's rhetoric and then the overreaction to it and see the real man and what he's actually proposing, I think a lot of, maybe not far left, but more just classically liberal people like an Elon, like an RFKJ, would be attracted to him. So, and to his credit, he doesn't see the world in those shades either. You know, if you're a Democrat like Bobby Kennedy or a left-leaning independent like Elon, it's not a deal breaker for Trump. And by the way, Bobby Kennedy too, pretty radical on the environment. Trump says, that's fine. You won't be touching that in my administration. But there is a way I can use you to do some good. That Trump is transactional. And I think that approach to governing is very attractive. It does work well in business. It worked the first time around for him. And I think we're in for a very fun, successful ride second time around.
Megan, finally, I realize I'm about to ask you how to eat an elephant, right? It's a hard question to answer, but we have a ton of problems. There's a ton that has to be cleaned out in the government. We can't just assume power and go about our business. There are a lot of evil people in the Department of Justice, FBI, intelligence. There are a lot of evil people that need to be removed from the government. What's Donald Trump's top priority, or what should it be, I guess I should say? And I know he's got a ton of work to do. What's the day one thing he's got to get in there and do right away?
Well, the number one thing is going to be to reissue those executive orders about the southern border. I mean, he's going to shut down that border, all of them. I mean, he's going to, they shut down the construction of the wall by executive order and sold off the parts. They shut down his crackdown on asylum claims, which are only supposed to be used in very scant few cases, but they opened up, that's how they got all these people in over the past 4 years, by saying they were claiming asylum, which is BS. He's going to reinstitute that. Remain in Mexico, where he used to require them to stay in Mexico while they were trying to seek asylum in the United States, so that if and when we eventually said no, which is what we should normally say, they'd be Mexico's problem to deport back to their original country and not ours. I think he's going to do all of that on day one. I think Title IX will be high up on the list of priorities. That's something that Biden undid with his pen when he changed the definition of women and opened the door to men in women's sports. That's easy for him to get the Department of Education redoing right away. And then he's going to have to deal with the expiration of the Trump tax cuts, which are coming pretty soon into his term. And if he really does control the Senate and the House, as it's looking like right now, that shouldn't be a problem for him at all to extend them. And on the border, he should be able to deal with that legislatively for once and for all. It doesn't have to just remain executive orders. He can actually get a law passed. Finally, on your comment about the rot inside of our institutions, he's got a dream team going in there for that. Elon, RFKJ, and Vivek Ramaswamy, who you and I have both been critical of. But that guy wants to cut the size of government badly. And I trust Vivek to do that. And I trust Bobby Kennedy to do that. And I really trust Elon Musk to do that, who reduced the Twitter, or now X, workforce by what, 80%? Found all these efficiencies, and yet it's still rolling and it's still working and it's still successful, relatively. If they do that to our federal government, go in there like the accountant, like Charles Grodin in the movie Dave, look at the books and start cutting, I think we're all going to be a lot better off very, very soon.
Gosh, I haven't seen Dave in forever. Now I'm going to have to watch that. Megan, are the best. Go subscribe. Oh, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. Go subscribe to her YouTube channel. Megan, as always, you are the best. Come back soon, please. She's awesome. All right. Look, we have, I don't even know what to tell you. We still have Buck Sexton. We still have Ron Johnson. We still have Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan's going to join us next. What might Jim Jordan do with 4 years, right? Before we get to Jim, let's get to this. If you're like me, maybe you're lacking a little bit of sleep. It's understandable on a day like today. We were all up all night watching TV on the phone. So tonight, it's not an option. I have to sleep, or I'm going to be dead before I get here tomorrow. So what am I going to do? Well, when I take this earpiece out of my ear, I'm going to go home and I'm going to kiss my wife and eat a little dinner and talk to my sons. And I'm going to sip on a cup of hot chocolate. Only it's not normal hot chocolate. It has dream powder in it. It's chocolate cinnamon, but it puts you to sleep. Not with drugs, all natural things like melatonin. And I'm just going to drift off to the best sleep in the world and wake up tomorrow on a Thursday ready to go. Do you want to feel like that every day? Go to shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly and you can. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I have great news and I have terrible news before we welcome in the great congressman, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. The great news is Ohio freaking delivered last night. We flipped a Senate seat in Ohio. Ohio went for Trump early. The state where I was born delivered. The bad news is Michigan also delivered, so we do have to give them a little bit of credit today, and you know how much I hate doing that on this show. Joining me now to praise Ohio and hopefully trash Michigan is the head of the Judiciary Committee, and I have a feeling he's going to have a real good time over the next few years. Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, first and foremost, congrats to you winning re-election again. Not that was in doubt, but we need you there.
Yeah, it went fine, and you're right. Great day for the country, but great day for our state. Yeah. Bernie Moreno, it was called early. He put a beat down on Sherrod Brown. So it was like shortly after the polls closed, he won by like 5 or 6 points, I think. So it was a great win there. We now have every statewide office is a Republican in the Buckeye State, which as you pointed out, Michigan certainly cannot claim, but they had a good night up north as well.
They did. In fact, the blue wall states, in all seriousness, were anything but blue walls last night. Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan. Is this a revenge of the working class election? Is that what I'm looking at, Congressman? Because that's sure what it feels like. It feels like the left has so isolated themselves on the coasts and the ivory towers, and that working people have just rejected it.
No, you're exactly right. Working class, middle class people, that is the new party. That's the party President Trump has brought together. And they said enough of this stuff. I think a lot of this was people are tired of being called racist, deplorable, garbage. They're just tired of that. And then you couple that with the bad economy we had under the Biden-Harris administration, and Americans showed up in a big way and said, we want President Trump back in the White House. We're tired of being called names. We're tired of the disdain they have for us regular folks. So this is now a party of working class, middle class, common sense people with common sense positions. And it was, I think that message was sent loud and clear yesterday.
It sure as heck was. I want to actually get to some nitty gritty things that really matter a lot. I talked about this on my radio show. You uncovered a link between the United Nations and what this administration has done, bringing illegals, flying them into this country. This was your uncover, so I'll give it to you. What did you find?
No, exactly. I mean, again, part of why this coalition has come together is when you have an administration who's working in this international body to do this with migrants coming into the country on top of the 10 million who've already come into our nation, this open border. One more reason why you saw so many regular Americans say, no, we're gonna throw that administration out. We're going to put Republicans in charge because they're the party of common sense. So this, along with the other policies that this administration embarked on, were just wrong. They just made no sense. I always say, you know, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders said it best when she said the divide in America today is normal versus crazy. And it's true. It is crazy to be working with the UN to bring people in the country like that. It's crazy not to have a border. It's crazy to defund the police. And you can just go on and on. And Americans said, enough of that. We're going to get out and vote. And they sure did.
Congressman, I'm glad you brought that up because there is something that I can't get out of the back of my mind. We need the Democrat Party to change. We do have two parties. We cannot have a country where anytime they take over the White House, they purposely open up the border and flood the country with 15 million illegals. You can't survive long term. We had a great night last night, but we can't survive unless Democrats change. They need to. Do you see any chance for the tiniest amount of self-reflection after a beatdown like that?
I do. I think you have to. You know, your background in sports, my background in sports, you know, you lose. You're supposed to learn from it. You'd think when they got beat the way they did, they'd take a little different perspective and make some changes. So I hope they do. I'm not sure they will, but I hope that they do that. And you would think that they would, because it just is smart to say, look, maybe we're out of touch. Maybe if we can't win one statewide election in Ohio, not one statewide office, maybe we should change what we're about. In fact, they tried to rig the game again by putting an issue on the ballot that would create some commission to draw the district lines because they can't win in a statewide race. So they tried to go around that, put something on the ballot, spent $26 million on issue one, and we beat that yesterday as well. Again, the people of Ohio saying no to the ridiculous, crazy things and standing up for common sense.
That feels good. Okay, I can't let you go without playing you the comments of New York AG Letitia James today. She got up. I'm sure you've probably seen it. This is what she had to say.
We did not expect this result, but we are prepared to respond to this result. And my office has been preparing for several months because we've been here before. We faced this challenge before. And we use the rule of law to fight back. And we are prepared to fight back once again. Because as the Attorney General of this great state, it is my job to protect and defend the rights of New Yorkers and the rule of law. And I will not shrink from that responsibility.
Congressman, is it going to be another 4 years of this crap?
Well, I mean, from Letitia James, probably so. I mean, she referenced the rule of law. She's done anything but follow the rule of law. She's done the rule of lawfare. She's done politics, but it's not been the rule of law. So hopefully all this stops. Hopefully all these cases go away. I think that's what should happen. I know former Attorney General Barr called for them all to be dismissed, the charges against President Trump, because they were all politically based. They weren't based in the rule of law. They were ridiculous. So let's hope that happens. But, you know, I always say, Jesse, the left, and I think this was why you saw Americans push back so strongly and so clearly yesterday. The left has a formula they follow. The left will tell a lie, whatever that, you know, President Trump is fascist. They'll tell some crazy lie. Big media reports the lie. Big tech amplifies the lie. And then when you tell the truth, they call you a racist and or they try to censor you. They will use the power to censor you. So an American said, enough of that. I think this is amazing, this new coalition that's come together in defense of the First Amendment. You know, did you ever think you'd see Donald Trump, Elon Musk, RFK Jr., and Tulsi Gabbard on the same team? It's because of this attack on liberty. So that is the good thing that I think is one of the many good things that's come out of what President Trump's leadership and of our party has been about, is bringing this new coalition together saying, we're going to defend liberty. We're going to defend free speech. That is really positive. And Americans are tired of government, big government working with big tech and big media to limit our free speech rights.
No doubt about it. Congressman, once again, congratulations to you. We will break bread shortly. It's going to be a high time for a while. Make sure you enjoy it. All right. We have Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin joining us next. What happened in Milwaukee yesterday? Before we get to that, let's talk about saving a life. Talk about something that matters a lot. The baby's lives. They can't speak up for themselves. They don't have TV shows. They don't have Facebook accounts on their phone. No one speaks up for the unborn if you don't, if I don't. That's what Preborn does. Preborn saves those lives by giving young mothers free ultrasounds, young mothers who are about to kill their babies. Preborn steps in and says, how about an ultrasound for free? If they get a young woman in there to take that ultrasound, she chooses life almost every time. And that ultrasound costs $28. Save a life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Great news. all over the place last night. Some average news out of Wisconsin, but look, you're not going to win everything. Looks like Tammy Baldwin is going to remain one of their two senators in that state, but it also looks like they really don't want illegals voting there, so that is a good thing. Let's talk about Wisconsin and the country and what we can expect going forward with the other senator, the good one from that state, Senator Ron Johnson. Okay, Senator, your state really doesn't want illegals voting, does it?
Yeah, I would say two out of three is not bad, not perfect. Yeah. I'm obviously disappointed that Eric Hovday didn't defeat Tammy Baldwin, but I think that's a big vote that 70% of Wisconsinites said that we only want American citizens to vote in a Wisconsin election. That's a big deal. Now, we've got to get Governor Evers to make sure that he puts the controls in place to ensure that only American citizens vote. So that'll be our next task. And of course, I was just so proud of Wisconsin. You know, a sports analogy, Wisconsin sank the putt that won the President's Cup. We put President Trump over the line. That was just incredibly exciting last night. He went from, you know, 267 it was, to 277 with our 10 electoral votes.
Yeah, I just the blue wall, Senator, the Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan blue wall, as it's known. Boy, did that wall come crumbling down. Why such a difference? Obviously, everyone's analyzing this election today. Was it all great Trump, great campaign, bad Kamala Harris, bad campaign? In your mind, I know that that's probably a combination of all those things. What was the biggest reason the blue wall crumbled for Democrats?
Let me quote Bernie Sanders. It's not surprising when you abandon the working class will abandon you. And that's basically what happened. I mean, Democrat governance has been a disaster for this country. The open borders, who does that primarily impact? You know, people in the working class, people who are, you know, competing for jobs, people who are competing for housing, people who are competing for hospital beds. Again, that's been disastrous. The massive deficit spending sparking 40-year high inflation. It costs $1,000 more per month nationally just to live the standard of living you had before the Biden administration. The endless wars, the world's on fire. Again, Democrat governance has been a disaster. And the Democrat Party has become the party of the elite, whereas under President Trump, we've had a complete realignment of our politics. Now the Republican Party represents the working men and women of this country, and President Trump is assembling this coalition of amazingly smart people spanning the political spectrum. Bobby Kennedy, Tulsi Gabbard, Joe Rogan, Brett Favre, Elon Musk. This is an amazing thing that President Trump has done. And Democrats are again, they're so tied up with their captive media, they just didn't really realize what was happening in this country.
Yeah, way too deep in the bubble. Okay, let's actually discuss Trump and the Senate. Because it looks like we're going to obviously have a fairly narrow majority in the Senate. Trump is going to need very good people, especially in positions like AG, if there's going to be any swamp drainage at all. And those people are going to have to get through a Senate confirmation process. And some senators are, well, you're a rare breed, we'll put it that way. Are you concerned about that? Obviously, I know some Tom, Dick, and Harry who's from D.C. could get confirmed. If Trump has a real reformer, which he needs going through that process, are you worried it'll be stopped?
You know, my guess is my Republican Senate colleagues realize that we've been given a mandate. I think you have to admit that this is a mandate, certainly to us, from our supporters, to accomplish what President Trump laid out in his campaign. And we've got it looks like we'll have at least a 3-vote margin. It is disappointing in that blue wall that President Trump wins Wisconsin and Michigan, and yet we still narrowly lost those U.S. Senate seats. But again, we have a 3-member margin, so we can lose one or two and still confirm something. We can actually lose 3 and have J.D. Vance break the tie. So I'm not overly concerned about President Trump not getting his nominees confirmed.
Oh, that is wonderful news. All right, you were on the program yesterday, and you were all kinds of fired up about the election situation, I'll put it that way, in Milwaukee. What happened there? Obviously, everything isn't, you know, some horrible scandal. Some things are just mistakes, but some things are terrible scandals, and they're nefarious. What happened there? How do you feel about it now?
Gross incompetence. You know, to the point where it almost... he almost felt like it had to be nefarious, but I don't, in the end, I don't think it was. There was just no procedure in place to check the tabulation machines at the door that, you know, where you get the USB cable in there was locked and sealed prior to starting the tabulation. So they didn't find out until one of our observers observed that. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they shut down the process and they had to reprocess the 30,000 ballots, which again then took time. And when you're delivering ballots in the middle of the night, it just creates suspicion, which is not good. So, you know, I'm a big supporter, quite honestly, of letting, of changing the law in Wisconsin to allow these precincts with observers from both sides, equal number of observers of both sides, opening up those absentee ballots the day before, tabulating them so we can get the rapid results like they do in the state of Florida. I mean, Jesse, this is absurd. Here in the year 2024, we can't count ballots as fast as we could, let's say, in the 1960s. It's ridiculous.
Senator, what do you make, because there's been a lot of chatter today about it, what do you make of the incredible difference in the number of Democrats who voted this year versus in 2020? It is, like, it's hard to ignore the fact that it was, like, 20 million, I think it was 18 million fewer Democrats voted this time. But obviously, it looks pretty bad, doesn't it? It looks suspicious. What do we make of it?
I'm not sure we can really exactly determine it, but I will tell you that I think a lot of Americans took a look at the disaster that was the Biden-Harris administration and the disaster that the Kamala Harris was as their a nominee and just decided to sit it out. In 2022, yeah. The big issue was abortion. The Dobbs decision was recent. And again, I can't explain this, you know, why Democrat voters are just so intent on killing babies, but they are. I think that drove a lot of turnout on the Democrat side. But no, I agree. I mean, what's so difficult about proving fraud is it's after the fact you have to, you know, certify these elections so quickly. Once they're certified, nobody wants to go back and admit they were wrong. To contemplate the remedy is awful as well. So it's very difficult to prove fraud after the fact. You have to catch it on the front end. And that's the big difference between the party. We're not looking for partisan advantage. We just want to restore confidence in our election system by instituting the controls on the front end to prevent fraud. Democrats want to make it easy to cheat, which sure implies that they want to cheat.
Speaking of confidence, I have absolutely none in John Thune or John Cornyn to lead the GOP. And that is really, it's the next big fight we have. Mitch McConnell is mercifully stepping down. But if we get Mitch McConnell stepping down and more of the same, then we're going to be frustrated. I know you will be frustrated with the Senate and how they conduct their business. How is that race looking? I understand, from what I understand, you and Mike Lee are backing Rick Scott, as am I.
Yeah, we're big supporters of Rick Scott, an extraordinary individual, highly successful in the business world, highly successful governor of Florida. He turned that state around, set Ron DeSantis up for success. So, Jesse, if you've got any influence with President Trump, ask President Trump to come out publicly and say he wants to work with somebody as accomplished as Rick Scott to accomplish his agenda. We've got to do big things. We have to deliver. We need outside-the-box, paradigm-shifting type of thinking in the United States Senate. And working with President Trump, he's going to need somebody like Rick Scott. So urge the president to come out and endorse Rick Scott publicly. It's probably what Rick's going to need to become the majority leader.
Yeah, that would be wonderful to see. I will see what I can do on that front. I think you probably have a bit more influence there than I do. Senator, thank you so much. I appreciate you, as always. All right. We're not done celebrating. Going to celebrate with Buck Sexton and his pistachio creme brulee in just a moment. Before we get to that, let me get to this. Do you have any idea how many people I called last night? Well, I'm lying to you. I didn't call anybody because I don't like to talk on the phone and my voice was shot. But you have any idea how many people I texted last night? It was a lot. All night long, texting, receiving them, laughing at Democrats. It was a glorious night. And every single one of those texts went through because, you see, my cell phone company, Pure Talk, they're on the same 5G network as the big guys. So you think, oh, I want to switch. I want to save money. I want to go with the patriotic company whose CEO fought for this country in Vietnam. But I'm worried about service. Jesse, I can't afford to lose service. You don't lose a thing when you switch to Pure Talk. You gain. You gain peace of mind knowing you're not funding dirty commies at Verizon every month. Go. puretalk.com/JesseTV. It's cake to switch. It's nothing. Keep your phone. Keep your number. puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this all day long. Not that Buck and I haven't already been gloating by text message, but now we get to do it in front of you right here on the television set. Joining me now, of course, Buck Sexton, host of the Clay and Buck Show, biggest radio show in the country. Buck, we've had less than 24 hours to soak all this in. I just can't stop smiling, buddy. My wife can't stop smiling. We were hate watching The View all morning long. The absolute misery of the filthy, evil communists in this country. It is just, I'm bathing in it today.
It doesn't get any better. I honestly had thought that Trump was going to win this election, but I wasn't anticipating the scale of the win. Like, I thought it was going to come down to a couple of states and it would be tight. But when you see the across-the-board reasons for celebration for Trump, it's amazing. And I got to tell you, one of the funniest things for me, and I really just encourage everyone to just like take the day and really enjoy it and gloat and walk around and realize that I don't know how I was going to explain to my audience, Jesse, on radio, that the country's not insane if they elected Kamala Harris based on the campaign she ran, based on who she is. So at least I can skip all that. So that's a really good thing. But also, I was watching Morning Joe this morning, and all that stuff about he's a Nazi, he's a fascist, oh my God, they're going to round us up in camps. They didn't believe any of it. I mean, the whole thing was just a total put on, a sham, a scam. Like, there's almost a part of me that's impressed. Like, you're going to call someone a Nazi just because you think that that will make very dumb people scared and they won't vote for them. And then when you realize that like the whole thing is up, you're like, yeah, I mean, he's not really a Nazi. That's where we are. Like, they don't actually believe any of it. They didn't, you know, at least the ones that are on TV, they don't believe it. They just try to manipulate very stupid people. So it's amazing, man. I don't feel sorry for Kamala Harris at all. I don't think she ran a good campaign. I don't think she's an honorable person. I don't feel some sense of like, oh yeah, you know, she was a worthy opponent. No, she was an unworthy opponent. And it's grotesque that the Democrats pretended otherwise as long as they did. So I'm totally in spike the football mode. There's no part of me that's like, let's all just be friends. No, I say no.
Buck, I agree with you. I say no, absolutely not. No, we're not going to be friends. You don't get to call me a Nazi. You don't get to send the FBI SWAT teams after pro-lifers. You don't get to just conduct yourself like a rabid animal for 4 years and then wake up the day after you lose an election and say it's time for unity, it's time for peace. No. That ship has sailed. Now it's time for justice. That's what time it is. But setting that aside, I want to come back to something you said about the lies they tell to their stupid people. Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. Because I've been thinking about this a lot. I think it's a really, really evil, horrible thing to do what they've done, where they make these people mentally ill in a variety of ways, with social media, with schooling, with everything else. So they mentally shatter these people, and then they take advantage of the people they've mentally shattered by telling them things they know to be lies. I mean, we can laugh it off, and I do laugh it off, but that's a really crappy, crappy thing to do to these people. I know we've all been laughing all day long about every single lib woman that's screaming into her TikTok phone, but honestly, part of me, maybe I'm going soft, feels bad for them.
Well, there's that, right? I mean, when I say we're not all going to be friends, I mean, the happy part of me, or the friendly, cuddly part of me, if such a thing exists, which I think it does, would say that the good news for Democrats is that it's going to be better for everybody. I mean, and I truly believe that. I mean, the average Democrat voter is going to benefit from Donald Trump being the president. Now, the people who run the apparatus, and the whether you're talking about this sort of Democrat media machine, you know, Democrat party apparatchiks, might not be so great for them. I mean, I'm not sure I'd want to be in Jack Smith's shoes right now. But, you know, those are sort of like political combatants, if you will, right? Those are the people that are on the battlefield. In terms of the civilians in this, which includes the Democrats, it's better for them that Donald Trump's the president. Kamala Harris is a moron. I mean, this is just... And I don't run around calling political opponents dumb or anything like that as some kind of a reflexive response to disagreeing with them. I mean, she's truly not an intelligent person who was not up for this at all and has gotten where she is through a lot of unsavory practices. So I would just say, and approaches, you know, family show. So I would say this with the people who are exploited, and this is the shrieking, you know, purple-haired, the women who unfortunately think that the government's going to replace their husband or their boyfriend, which will never actually work for them. It's never actually going to make them happy. Because, you know, married women, you know, Trump won. If you're married, it was close, but it was like about a 50-50. 50-48, I think, was the final tally I saw. But if you're married you're a woman, you're probably very likely to be, or, you know, certainly very reasonable for you to be pro-Trump. It's unmarried women, right? And I think there's a lot of bad life choices that have been pushed by the Democrat Party. And this is a much larger conversation, but that leads to women being unhappy and being unfulfilled. And that's sad. I mean, there is something very sad about this. And I know that J.D. Vance got in trouble for all the not really in trouble. And he's a stud and he's kicked ass. And, you know, I was a big supporter of his all along. But, you know, they tried to come after him with the cat ladies thing. And I was like, oh, now the cat ladies are going to speak out against him. I mean, when we say that someone has a cat, that doesn't make them a cat lady, right? There's an archetype that he was referring to, which is women who think that, you know, watching The View and, you know, doing whatever sort of menial office job they have, or maybe even making VP at the PR firm, that's going to be, for most women, a life that makes them happy. I think that's a big lie that the left has told a couple of generations of women now. And maybe there's an opportunity to start telling them the truth. And I think there is a lot of mental illness on the left. And you know this because all the self-identified studies show that people who are racked with anxiety and have real problems with emotional instability are much more likely to be Democrats. I mean, that's just a fact. That's what the data shows, to the degree that we have data on this. So yeah, I feel sorry for them the same way I feel sorry for any crazy person. But the people that are exploiting them and telling them, you know, you're the ones politically that are supposed to run across the minefield for the glory of the revolution, I have disdain for those people. Like those people, we have a reckoning.
100%. There has to be some kind of a reckoning. And yes, Kamala Harris is an idiot, and yes, has done many unsavory things, as you put it. Then again, I guess it depends on where you're sitting. It may be very savory, just depending on who you happen to be at the moment, but we'll set that aside. So Trump has this huge win. He has this huge coalition. What, Buck? It's fine. It's fine. He has this huge coalition. RFK is involved. Elon Musk is involved. I know you and I, we temper our enthusiasm. We try to come at things sober. I'm trying to do the best I can to do that today, but
How much do you think he can get done in 4 years?
Well, I think that the people that he has around him now, you know, he kind of had this like ragtag. What's that movie where they pull together the different soldiers, like the guys who the I guess it's like Seven Samurai is one version of it. The you know what I'm talking about, where he pulls
the
together
Dirty Dozen. The Dirty Dozen.
Thank you, Dirty Dozen. You know, that's right. So it was a little bit like that then. I mean, this time around, it's much more, I mean, not, I'm not a big like Avengers universe fan, but it's a little more like that. I mean, he's bringing together just, these people are studs. I mean, these people that are at the top of this Trump apparatus this time around, or, you know, the Trump machine this time around. I mean, you're talking about people like J.D. Vance, Elon Musk, and a whole, you know, a whole range of others that have come over to his side. I think that that's really encouraging. I try not to be like, I have a man crush on Elon, but like I kind of do. I mean, he's amazing. Like he's one of the most momentous figures alive, probably going back for a few generations now. What he's done, he's changed. He's actually changing the world, which I think very few people can say. And I think that he might have saved free speech and Western civilization with some of what he has done, or certainly played a major role in it. So it's hard to, you know what I mean? Like that's just, I think that's objective. I would argue that in front of anybody. That's not like me kissing up to Elon. Like, I think what he's done, I think having the richest guy in the world who's also doing more to change entire industries than any other human being alive on your team all in as a politician is like a pretty important and powerful thing. And the fact that he created the free speech platform that allowed us to fight back against the communist madness this time around. Anyway, I think it's hard to overstate how profound Elon is in all this. If they stay on mission, they're going to do amazing things. And you know, hopefully you and I and everyone watching will be along for that ride. If they stay on mission, they can do absolutely amazing things. And I do think that one of Trump's weaknesses the first time around, if I could say this, he's, despite all the stuff about how he's a Nazi and everything else, he's a fundamentally nice guy who is warm toward people and has like a very human aspect. And if anything, I think sometimes wants to be liked even by people that he should hate, because that's just in his nature. He's just not a hateful guy. Like there's always room on the Trump train for people, even if they've, you know, had their differences or crossed him in the past. This time around, when they try to lock you up and lock your family up and do the things that they have done, and when you've taken a bullet through the ear, I think this is a different, you know, this is a different phase, a different focus. I certainly hope so. But the major test of it, you and I know, the major test will be what happens really with the border and all the illegals. Because that's...
We will. Buck.
That's an existential challenge. All right, we're having too much fun. I'm having too much fun. You have to go do the rest of your show, fancy TV man with your blazer on.
Get your T-shirt and your perfect hair out of here. Buck, you're the best, buddy. I'll see you. All right, I have some final thoughts. Next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Here are my final thoughts on all of it. Celebrate. Just like I told you at the very opening of the show, be happy today. Yes, there are all kinds of problems we now have to tackle. We get to tackle now that we have taken some power back. And you know we're going to be talking about those every single day here on I'm Right. From the nominations, to the border, to the military, the culture. There's yet all these problems, all these battles are still to come. But you don't get many opportunities in politics if you're someone on the right to have a nice win to feel good about. Last night was not only an election of Donald Trump, election of a Republican Senate, it looks like a Republican House. Last night was a complete repudiation of every evil person who has tried to destroy this country, and we can feel good about that. Smile. Call your mom, text a friend, have a beer, enjoy your night tonight. The troubles will be there tomorrow. I'll see you then.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.